Anchorage has a new mayor, though in sharing that, I don't do so to pull any amount of politics into this show. It is not the right platform for that. Rather, I'd like to point out one of his first acts upon assuming office. He issued a directive proclaiming Anchorage a Second Amendment sanctuary. While not having the force of law, as I understand it, it does spell out how Anchorage will view matters related to the Second Amendment. It declares that the city shall stand as a sanctuary jurisdiction, and mandate no public funds or resources shall be used to restrict Second Amendment rights or aid in the unconstitutional restriction of these rights as preserved in the U.S. Constitution and the State of Alaska Constitution as amended. Of course, being a gun owner, hunter, and some would say something of a gun nut, I applaud these efforts. I am guessing the preponderance of those listening feel similarly. We live in a gun-rich environment, even for the United States. Gun ownership can take on many forms. Some of the more common variations to include recreational shooting, personal and home protection, and hunting. That last one likely accounts for what might be an overwhelming majority of instances around rural Alaska. Our lifestyles, and our diet, frequently means that we kill animals. Ever think about how that happens? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. How animals are humanely harvested varies greatly from animal to animal and situation to situation. There is no one size fits all for everything. Quite a while back, I did an episode on if you were limited to X number of guns, a fun enough discussion that often crops up on hunting and firearms online forums. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about that, being restricted to how many guns we own. But a frequent answer, if that limit is 3, is something along the lines of a shotgun for birds, a small caliber rifle for small game, and something to handle the bigger stuff. For one gun, I've often said it would be my Savage 24. The 20-gauge barrel can handle birds and small game, and the 30-30, while not absolutely perfect for a lot of stuff, can be loaded to be very workable for pretty much anything. But for the purposes of today's episode, I'm thinking more about how animals are quickly and humanely harvested when you decide to shoot. This was on my mind a lot over the first half of 2021. I fulfilled a lifelong bucket list item to go to Africa and hunt. For the vast majority of what I hunted, I knew that my normal moose and caribou rifle would work just fine, and it did, very well in fact. The majority of the species I hunted and harvested were down in a matter of seconds and with a single shot, at all distances. This was because the bullet and caliber I used were absolutely sufficient for what I was hunting. The reason it was on my mind, though, was because I was able to hunt Cape Buffalo, by reputation one of the toughest animals on Earth. The only gun that I own that was considered legal by South African regulations was my 45-70, a fairly stout caliber, but at the very bottom of what's considered acceptable for buffalo. The challenge for me then, prior to going, was to find the right bullet that would maximize the chances of my gun succeeding at what I wanted to do. There are any number of factors that go into humanely harvesting big game animals with a firearm. Things like shot placement, bullet type, velocity and energy, and limiting one's shooting to actual personal capability. The importance of some of these factors can vary from hunter to hunter, but all certainly play a role. Towards the top of the list for me is shot placement. If the bullet isn't placed in the right spot, a much larger caliber might not make a difference. You need to be able to place the bullet in the right spot to bring about a swift kill, regardless of the gun you're hunting with. For me, the absolute right spot is the heart-lung area of the chest. Animals simply can't live if they can't breathe, and they can't live if their hearts cease to function. It's as simple as that. Every animal I shot in Africa was a heart, lung, chest shot. Only one lived more than a few seconds. I bow hunt too, and bow hunting is another thing entirely, when it comes to quick kills. I'll leave that for a separate time. Killing with a bow can be subtle. I've shot animals that didn't know they were dead until they fell over. There is nothing subtle about a firearm or how it kills. A rifle bullet can kill an animal in a number of ways, including destroying tissue, disrupting the function of vital organs or the central nervous system, causing massive blood loss, and by shock to the animal system. A rifle shot animal's life may end in the blink of an eye, or it may take just a bit more than that, depending on a number of factors. What is true, though, is the more damage a bullet causes, the more likely it is to produce a quick kill. A quick kill is always what we want. For some hunters, the most considered factor to causing fatal damage is gun caliber. I was talking to a guy at the shooting range a while back, and he commented about how a lot of hunters feel like they need to shoot the biggest Magnum caliber rifles they can for the type of big game animals we have around Alaska. While there's certainly nothing wrong with shooting a large caliber rifle, provided you're able to handle the recoil and shoot it accurately, it's not an absolute necessity, in my opinion. That doesn't mean I'm advocating for running out and hunting everything with a .223, for example. The key is shooting a gun you shoot well so that you can get that optimal shot placement I talked about. If it kicks like a mule and causes you to flinch, it's probably not doing you as much good as you think it is. It does need to be a caliber that produces sufficient energy to get the penetration needed to kill the animal, but placement is still the key. Bullet construction is another thing to consider. Not all bullets are created equal. Jacketed bullets of all sorts, hard cast, monometal bullets, there are so many bullet types these days. And all of them are optimal for different situations, different applications, and different animal types. Some will work across a broad range of applications, others have very specific applications. Factory ammo frequently makes use of more generic bullet types, though in recent years, you can find factory ammo more readily that has bullets intended for specific purposes, like hunting dangerous game or long-range shooting. There's not enough time to this episode to get into a proper discussion of bullet types, but if you're not familiar with what's out there, I'd suggest you spend some time online educating yourself on bullet types or talking with someone who is knowledgeable. I'd offer up that, like with most things, it's never been easier to find information online for bullet types and how they work. Also, make no mistake, we have never lived in a better time for the types of bullets and ammunition available. Well, maybe not right now with the shortages going on, but there have never been more types of really good bullets available to hunters and shooters. I'll talk just a bit more about bullets at the end. Another thing to consider is the animal's body language at the time of the shot. A relaxed animal almost always dies quicker than an alert animal, although quick can still come very quickly on an alert animal when everything else is right. I'll also add that it's vital for the hunter to have a firm knowledge about big game anatomy and the discipline to take only shots that can be made with certainty. That certainty and the confidence that goes with it can only happen with practice. What does that mean for those of us around Bristol Bay? With moose and bear season coming up, it means the following. Practice enough to know your gun and scope are good to go, and that you feel confident with what you'll be using. Know the anatomy well enough to be sure about where you're putting your shot. Have the resoluteness to not stray beyond your own personal limitations. And use a caliber and bullet that's up to the task of cleanly harvesting what it is you're trying to kill. For those who are experienced hunters, you know what you're doing. I do not mean to sound condescending at all. For those who are still fairly new, give it some thought. Do a bit of research. Talk to folks who know what they are doing. Spend time at the range. Give yourself the best chance to succeed when you're out there and the best chance to quickly kill what it is you're hunting. So, briefly, back to bullet types and making decisions. For that buffalo hunt I mentioned, a buffalo is a large, tough animal. They have a thick hide, a lot of muscle, and an interesting skeletal structure. My 4570 shoots a big bullet, but it's a short-range, slow-moving bullet. The conventional jacketed bullets, which shoot well from my gun, would likely not have worked well on buffalo. Too much hide and muscle and bone. I tinkered around with hard cast, think solid lead, but I couldn't get them to shoot well from my gun. My guide told me shots would likely be only 75 yards or less, so there was that. In the end, I put together a load using a 325-grain, solid brass bullet. They grouped well. They promised to penetrate well. So, that's what I went to Africa with. Long story short, I killed a large buffalo at 45 yards. It was aware of us and irritated by our presence. I made a frontal shot at the insistence of my guide. I'll be honest, I wasn't completely sure about a frontal shot with my gun. But I need not have worried. The buffalo went down in less than 30 yards after the shot and was down and dead in well under 10 seconds. Perhaps I just got lucky. But I didn't go into this willy-nilly. I made a plan, and I worked on it. The goal was to put a buffalo down, and very quickly, and in the end, it worked. Whatever you choose to hunt this fall, that should be the goal of all of us who do hunt. A quick, clean kill. Understanding just how your rifle works and how that happens can help you do a better job with that. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitude Zat, www.solitudes.com.